You're listening to Hearth Casual, the Hearthstone podcast for tavern brawlers, dungeon runners, and everyone else enjoying the game off the ranked ladder.
Well met, mechs and minions, and welcome to episode 32 of Hearth Casual. I, of course, am Brian Black, and with me, as always, resident dad legend of the show and real-life off-meta rogue, Mr. Kevin Ellis. How are you, Kevin?
And real-life off-meta rogue? That's an intro.
I just came up with it out of nowhere.
No, I like it.
Because I'm looking at my show notes, too.
I'm trying to picture what that would be like. It would be a dude just going around with, like, a butter knife in his pocket. Right?
Right? I mean, there's all sorts of real-life rogues. You could be someone on the black market instead of peddling, you know, like drugs and firearms. You could be peddling sneakers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All possible.
I'd say that's off-meta for the black market.
Yeah, yeah. A really sneaky sneaker salesman. Yeah.
I mean, if you're a rogue, you want to do a lot of sneaking around, someone has to supply the sneakers.
The thing is, there's definitely people that do this. Like, I don't know any of them, but I know there's got to be some, like, someone that's selling, like, knockoff brand Nikes and Air Jordans and things like that. Yeah, this is
well,
a thing.
There is such a place. It's called Payless Shoe Source, and most of them have gone out of business.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Hey, I got a shoe from there once that I swear was a sole and then a piece of cloth just, like, taped to it.
Nice. How long did it last you, like? 6 hours?
Until my feet started hurting, which was, yeah, around that. 6 hours.
Well, boy, you know, a couple weeks ago, and by the way, it's been a couple weeks now. Our last episode was, of course, the great interview with Pat Nagel, which
yes.
I hope you folks enjoyed. And then a week before that, we had our last, like, regular episode. And I knew that we would be talking about the Great Dalaran Heist today. And we definitely will be talking about that. But if you had said to me, Brian, next episode you will be talking about nerfs, I would say, okay, I guess maybe there's a chance of that.
I would have believed
then,
that.
Yeah. And then if you had told me, Brian, on the next episode, you'll also be talking about buffs along with nerfs, I'd say, are you out of your freaking mind?
Exactly. Oh, so let's try an experiment, Brian. Here we go.
Sure.
All right. So on the next episode, you're going to be talking about tournament mode.
Don't tempt fate here.
Okay. No, but seriously.
I mean, Overwatch is testing out replays finally. Who knows?
I know. I joke, but I mean, and we'll get into this later, but Blizzard did say that they were never going to do buffs like this, and here they're doing it to a ton of cards. So, like, I want to save this for the part that we talk about it, but they're breaking precedent in a really exciting way, and I think it opens the door for them to do more in the future.
Absolutely, and I'm really excited about a number of those buffs, and we will be getting to them in just a bit. I don't think we'll cover necessarily every single one, but I'm sure we'll talk about the ones that are the most exciting to us. But first off, I have to make good on a promise that I made on episode 31, or episode 30 rather, because 31 was Pat Nagel 1, but on episode 30 I said the next time that we'd be on the show, I would be talking about the craziest off-meta rogue deck I've ever played. And now is the time to tell you about it.
I'm so ready for this.
Okay, so as I am want to do, I like to put together wacky rogue decks and priest decks, it seems more often than not. And usually when you think rogue, you think, you know, Death Rattle, you think pirates, you know, those are the kind of things that rogues do. But I wanted to do a rogue deck that did synergy and that did, you know, some special thing, but in a way that Rogue has never really ever done it. So I'm thinking, okay, what do you not think of when you play Rogue? And it's like, well, Blink Fox is a beast, but you don't really do beasts in a Rogue deck.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the one thing that Rogues have trouble doing more than any other class, would you say, Kevin?
I guess like armor gain, definitely armor gain, but
armor
healing.
Gain for sure. But I would say just healing in general, life gain.
Yeah, I mean,
we did have, of course, you know, Kingslayer and when you could give it permanent lifesteal with that poison, but now that that's been nerfed to
that was pretty good healing. But
it was. And of course, you have Spectral Cutlass, but for the most part, rogues have a hard time healing. So I'm like, okay, we need to do a beast healing rogue deck. And you may think that's impossible, but not with the deck that I put together. Because consider this, ladies and gentlemen. Spirit of the Shark is a rogue card that's not a beast, nor does it heal. But it doubles up battle cries. And that's very important because of all of the cards that Rogue has access to that can provide healing, and pretty much all of them are neutral, well, all those heals are battle cries. Earthen Ring Farseer is a healing battle cry. Traveling Healer is a healing battle cry. Priestess
of the Moon. That's the new one, right? That's the new one, right?
That is the new one, yes. The
Tortolan guy? Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Priestess of a Loon is also a healing battle cry. And Life Drinker is a healing battle cry, also deals damage, but most importantly, Kevin, it's also a beast.
Yes, I keep forgetting that it's a beast. Mm-hmm. I also don't think of mosquitoes as beasts, but, you know, whatever. I guess so.
So we've got the healing in the package. We've got some healing battle cries, and we've got one beast in there. We've got two when you think of Blink Fox. We've got another beast that provides some value, some really nice value sometimes when you throw an evil Cable Rat, which, mind you, is a beast with a battle cry.
True. And I don't even know what it does. Flat out, I saw it in your list and I'm like, Soup Vendor.
I don't think anyone knows what a Soup Vendor does. So let me explain this. Soup Vendor is a 2-mana, 1/4, that reads, when you heal yourself for 3 or more, I'm paraphrasing, but when you heal yourself for 3 or more, draw a card.
Oh, wow.
Which means every one of those healing battle cries that I've mentioned turns into and draw a card when Soup Vendor is on play. So
yeah, that's really cool. And yeah, for two, so you can put that out and like mid game do Spirit of the Shark and then
draw two
something or yeah, right.
Hmm. And Ziliax is in there because it's a rogue deck in 2019, as Steve from Off Curve would like to say.
and it's got healing, so if it's the theme,
it's 3 points. If it's everything, the 3 points of healing is the important part, and that's why I threw in Cold Bloods to help the Vicious Scalehide. I also have a Pumpkin Peasant in there just to fill in a hole because I was at 29 cards, but he's going to be replaced soon by a card we're going to talk about later in the show. I have
Remind me about Pumpkin Peasant again.
He's the 2/4 or 4/2 Worgen with lifesteal that switches every other turn.
Oh, yeah.
So you play him in this deck when he's a 4/2.
Right.
And a couple of Shadow Steps for synergy with, you know, just bouncing battle cries, probably doing it with Evil Miscreant. And one Togwaggle scheme in there is, you kind of hold on to that Togwaggle scheme until mid-late game, and when you feel like you are running out of healing options, you play the scheme on one of your healing Battlecry minions that's on the board, and you get yourself a whole bunch of healing back in your deck.
Or I see you've got Heist Baron Togwaggle in here as well, right? So that's another
late-ish game. Yeah, that was just in there because I'm like, geez, if I have two cable rats and I have two evil miscreants, I might as well put Togwaggle in there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's how you'll win the game. I mean, this deck is more about endurance than anything else. I have gone to fatigue a couple of times against certain decks when I win. It's just a real zany deck. It's the kind of deck that when someone plays against you and they see it, they're not going to know what the heck you're doing until the soup vendor gets on the board.
And even then, they're going to sit there and read soup vendor over and over.
Uh-huh. Like, and they're going to scratch their head and be like, what kind of meme master puts soup vendor in their deck? This one right here, ladies and gentlemen. This one right here.
Yeah, I'm impressed. This was every bit worth the wait. The what would have been almost month wait, but yes, sir. I think this is what we need to do on this show more often. I love how you started with this. The whole concept of like, all right, I'm gonna just find the keywords and get the theme going, and then it ends up working.
Yeah, it's top down design. When I make decks that are, you know, meant to be fun and meme like, I'm doing it for the fun of it. I know that it's not going.
Oh, yeah.
I know that it's not going to win more than 50% of the time, more often than not. Because, well, a couple of things to like mention about this deck is, one of the key things it's missing is it has a lot of life gain, but it's missing something that rogues usually do really well, and that's removal. It has no removal in here. The card draw it gets off of a weird synergy, which doesn't always happen all the time. If you're going to play this deck, you're not playing this deck to climb the ladder. You're playing this deck to have fun. You play this deck when you have the challenge of friend quest, and each of you are going to put in weird, wacky decks in. That's the kind of time you play this deck.
Oh, I'm definitely putting it in my collection for that, because I played a friend of mine just at work today. Again, that same buddy of mine that plays with me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have any wacky decks, so I played like one of the old Secret Hunter lists, and it was a really good list, and I won, and I felt bad. So it's like,
and you should feel bad, Kevin. Goofier.
I did that time. I don't always, but that time I did. Yeah, make no mistake.
Yeah, so yeah. I'll include the deck code for this. Like I said, the only change I will make to this is to eventually get rid of Pumpkin Peasant and put in something else in there that we'll be talking about. A little card called Snip Snap. More on him in a moment. Kevin, do you have anything you want to talk about? Any particular deck you've been playing? I mean, I've been playing a whole lot of the Dalaran Heist. This deck that I just talked about, I haven't played it in over a week because I've been playing almost Heist and Arena exclusively.
Yeah, I've been pretty much on the Heist when I can play, although I did hit rank 5 just the other night, just hopping on with Token Druid again.
Nice.
But no, I mean, I cannot top your Beast Heal Rogue for sure. So I will actually defer it to, I have a deck I really want to get into for today's Brawl, for this week's Brawl. So
awesome. Well,
I will dive a bit deeper there.
Without further ado then, let's get into the Brawl breakdown. Okay, this week's Brawl is Clockwork Card Dealer, and if that sounds familiar to you listening to this show, it should, because Pat Nagel on our very last episode in that interview mentioned that this was one of his favorite Brawls to design. Now, I think back then, Clockwork Card Dealer, there wasn't Wild and Standard. They didn't exist as separate formats, so you could use all of the cards that were available at that time. So the only way that this version is different is that it's only from the standard card pool. And the way Clockwork Card Dealer works, to remind you from the last episode, or in case you weren't listening to that one, is you build a deck, and on turn one, if there is a one mana card in your deck, then it's going to choose a one mana card. If you only put in one mana card or two of the same one mana card in there, you are for sure going to get that card. And on turn two, it'll take a two mana card, turn three, a three mana card, and so on. So you can build your deck and construct your deck in such a way that you can engineer specifically what cards you're going to draw on turns 1 through 10. And if you don't have a card of the appropriate cost on that turn, then it's just going to draw from your deck like it would normally randomly draw from your deck. And
right.
That's basically the concept of it. So essentially, if you build your deck in such a way that you have all the mana costs represented, you are always going to curve out. And it just kind of a little, we've talked about mana curve before, where you normally build your deck to try to improve the chances of you having something to play on turn one, something on two, something on three. In this brawl, as long as you have the cards in there, you will never have to worry about not being able to play a card.
Unless you have a sneaky backup plan.
Oh.
But I'll get into that. I find it funny, too, that, you know, we just talked about this brawl on our last episode with Pat Nagel, and now it's up this week. I think that he probably got off that episode and said, you know what? That's the one for next week, and just flipped some switch somewhere. And made it happen.
Hey, you know
what? Or
it could
be a coincidence. Who knows?
Who knows? I mean, they could have been looking for an old brawl to repeat. And I imagine, you know, just reusing old brawls doesn't take a whole lot of resources or time.
Right. But the ones that were wild before and are now standard, or vice versa in some rare cases, maybe, do spice it up again. So, for sure. No, it's really cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, the deck I used to beat this brawl, I basically went with a mech hunter deck that is not too different from what you're seeing most mech hunter decks work like, but the way I had it set up, I pretty much knew which mechs I would be getting on which turn. And there's, of course, because you have 30 cards in your deck, and if you put in two cards of each mana cost in, that's only 20 cards. That means that you're going to have some mana spots where you have multiple cards, where what you get isn't, you won't be entirely sure of what you're going to get. And there could be that temptation to throw in a whole bunch of nines and tens into your deck so that you can play fewer of the other cards. And that's one way to build the deck. But keep in mind, you are getting three or four cards in your opening draw. And if you load your deck that way and make it top heavy with high mana cost cards, you may find yourself with a couple of dead cards in your hand early on in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a drawback to this mode. It's just that, like, you know, because you try, if you just tackle it yourself and try to homebrew something, then, you know, you're obviously, it's pretty clean and easy to get that curve up through 10, but then, you know, at best, if you've done duplicates of everything, you've only got 20 cards in your deck. Mm-hmm. So you're sitting there going, do we risk having a suboptimal draw on turn four, turn five, or do we just load it up with these high cost cards?
Right. And yeah. I mean, if you go, there's a few mana spots with certain decks where I figure if you have like four cards in your deck that cost four mana, and it's basically, you're basically choosing two copies of two different options, then at the very least, you know that on turn four, you're going to get this or this. And if you kind of build your deck in such a way that either one of those options is going to be a positive for your deck and for your tempo and just to improve your state on the board and everything like that, then that's kind of the way to build the deck, in my opinion. And when I went Mech Hunter, I kind of tweaked my deck to make it go that way. I actually don't have a code list for my deck, but if you just take Mech Hunter, I think you'll have a solid experience. I have not played the brawl more than that one time to beat it, simply because I've been so caught up with the heist. And I think that's one reason why they went to an old brawl, is because they realized people are going to be playing the heist.
This is definitely one. I mean, you know, it is fun, but it is one that you can just play once or twice, get your pack and call it good, you know, for sure. So yeah, that's definitely a smart call for this week.
What were you playing for this brawl?
Well, okay. So the first thing I did was one that, you know, Ben Hearthstone, also known as Hearthshare on Instagram, reached out to us and sent us a budget mech deck.
Yep.
And that is technically what I got my win on, just because, I mean, it does work. It's just mechs that synergize well and curve out well, and you get a good board and trade well, and, you know, you get death rattles off of some of them to get the 1/1s, and then mech, you know, magnetize onto them, and it just works out. Pretty straightforward if you need like a cheap version. But then I played a couple more games because I wanted to dig in a little bit more and see what other people were doing. And I got beaten horribly by the deck I'm about to talk about. And then I actually went in and Brian, I crafted a legendary and two epics in order to try this deck out.
Okay, for this brawl. Hold your horses here. Now, I need to object to that statement.
Yeah?
You're telling me you crafted a legendary for Clockwork Card Dealer.
It was all stuff I wanted to craft eventually anyway.
May I remind you, and I'm so glad I get to bring this up again. May I remind you of all of the times you had to craft Frost Lich Jaina and never did?
Yes, you're right. Good point.
You craft?
Chef Nomi.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, so how this one works is it's rogue, as you could maybe guess if you thought about it with just that clue. But another solution to the problem we were talking about, how you know you can map out your 1 through 10, but then you're not sure where to put the other cards, mm-hmm. is you can load up on zero-cost stuff in this deck. So it's got, you know, 2 backstab, 2 prep, yes, even the nerfed prep, 2 shadow step, and then it does top out at the very top end with some big stuff that, yeah, kind of ends up being dead. But it's things that are decent. It's got, like, it is weird. It's got, like, 2 batter heads, which I had to craft. I didn't unwrap either batter head, and that's a fun card.
Wow. Yeah, it is a good card.
It's got weird things like Deranged Doctor in this list that I found. I'm not sure I agree with every choice on this, but it has like the Burly Shovel Fist, you know, the 9 mana 9/9 with Rush and stuff like that. I'll talk a bit more about the top end, but it's got like all of the Sea Giants and Mountain Giants, just so that, again, you know, you're just throwing away a bunch of cards on the top end.
Gotcha.
But it's cool because what you do...
And those cards get reduced in cost later so that you could possibly play them later on in the game.
In theory, yeah. So, I mean, they might not be totally dead. But even if they are, it doesn't really matter because the plan is... So you got Togwaggle Scheme on 1. Mm-hmm. Guaranteed that thing's going to be charging up almost as much as it can.
Right.
Might be one turn behind, but that's it. Doomsayer on 2. So... You know, you just get a chance to throw that guy out. Maybe you don't even do it right away. Mind Control Tech on 3, which is, again, kind of a throwaway. Proud Defender for 4. That's the taunt, 4 mana 2/6, but has +2 attack when you have no other minions, which you don't because you just Doomsayered. And then really the whole thing is, so the 6 is Vanish. That's kind of key because that's you setting up for... combos like, I mean, you're seeing where this is going. Myra's unstable element.
I usually like rogue decks, and just seeing this deck form in my mind is triggering me. Okay, I'm feeling like I'm being assaulted by a rogue in World of Warcraft, and I hate rogues in World of Warcraft. But I'm
off meta rogue. What can I say? I'm selling shoes in the back streets. But anyway, so, you know, okay, Myra's unstable element. And then you knew this was going toward Chef Nomi. I led with that. So obviously there's tons of ways you can go about this. You've got your Togwaggle Scheme charging up. So you can do that to, you know, if you draw the second one, you can get like extra Doomsayers out and that sort of thing early game. That's kind of optional. I mean, the thought there is that you could put Nomi back in your deck. You do kind of kick yourself in the foot on that one because you've filled your deck back up. And although you've got, you know, your board full of grease fire elementals, if someone has an answer to that, like Brawl or something, then you kind of got to wait around and maybe wait for the however many Chef Nomis you've put back in your deck to dump out again.
Yeah.
So that can feel a little awkward. But it does prevent fatigue, which is nice for sure. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the game I lost to a deck like this, I don't know if it was this exact list, but was one that I just didn't have the answer to Nomi, and I just took the 6/6s in the face and called it good. But the reason I want to highlight this deck isn't even this, because although it's a interesting twist to something that you would think, oh, I should just curve out, and then you end up doing things like, you know, Doomsayer. But what I think really is interesting here is that, so if you get to that whole combo, which again, you can get off every time, some games, not always, I imagine, because, you know, I haven't played with this deck a ton.
Yeah.
But I will say, some games, if you had managed to draw Mechathune, you got Mechathune in your hand there. If you also managed to draw Mr. Deathwing, then you've got a backup plan where if you're able to just stick the Mechathune and they don't kill it before you can drop the Deathwing, you win there anyway, post Myra's unstable element. So it's kind of cool that it has like this set plan, but then a backup I don't know, like ejection seat, if you will. Another chance so against Myra's like hardcore
is five,
control.
Right?
Myra's is five, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think what I would do if I were playing something like this in the Brawl is instead of the Defender for four, mm-hmm. I'd play one of our favorite cards in all of Hearthstone, Academic Espionage.
Oh,
and
maybe.
Then you wouldn't have to necessarily use Shuffle as a way to keep your deck full after Nomi. You'd have the Academic Espionage as a backup plan.
Yeah, that's true, too. Okay.
I think that's the way I would. That's because the Togwaggle, the Shuffle thing feels a little weird to me, but at least with Academic Espionage, you have a way to stay out of fatigue for several turns. You know you're going to be able to play the stuff that you draw, and it might be some hefty discounted stuff.
The only drawback, though, is that if you drew it earlier, mm-hmm. like if it was just dead in your hand or something, yeah. You know, you might not be able to. Also, like you could Academic Espionage and then burn it all in the when you get the Myra's off anyway. So,
oh
like,
yeah, well, I think you'd mm-hmm. Espionage after Myra's,
save after, yeah. Kind of gives you a dead turn on three, but I guess you could just like play your Mind Control tech or do something. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't hate the Proud Defender in the list either, just because I mean. You're pretty much guaranteed to not have any minions on your side at that point, and putting right. up a 4-6 taunt with for four is good. But yeah, I see there's some logic in either way.
Yeah, it sounds like a solid deck. I didn't think about Nomi for that brawl. It's definitely a good way to go for Rogue. And I didn't even
Nomi's
think,
just.
I didn't think. About
I feel
the
like
zero
he's going to keep
stuff.
Coming back. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't think about the zero cost stuff.
That actually helped out a lot.
Awesome. Well, we'll definitely we'll get in a code for that, and that way we have a deck that you can play for the Brawl. And again, thanks to Ben Hearthshare for the budget deck thing. If you check our Twitter, you'll see that we retweeted that tweet from him, and you should follow Ben as well because he puts out a lot of good stuff.
Absolutely, especially on Instagram too. He's killing it over there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's move on and talk about news. And we've got stuff to talk about. Let's talk about the bad news first. Let's get the bad news out of the way. And by bad news,
which is?
I mean really good news if you hate playing against Rogue.
Yeah. Well, it must have been bad news for you because you're such a Rogue fan, right?
So here's the weird thing. Yes, I'm a Rogue fan, but I'm a fun deck Rogue fan. So, true. When it comes to Rogue decks that are doing what the premium tempo Rogue deck is doing, you know, with your raiding party and preparation and all that stuff, I'm actually okay with the Rogue nerfs that happen because they aren't my kind of nerfs. The only exception might be preparation. So, really quick, you guys, if you've played recently, of course, you know these nerfs are live now and what they are, but preparation's now 2 mana. Evil Miscreant in Rogue is a 1/4 instead of a 1/5, which to me isn't that big a deal because Stonehill Defender was a 1/4 for 3 and people played that all the time. And also Archivist Elysiana had her mana cost raised by 1, and Raiding Party got its mana cost changed from 3 to 4. So, again, most of my Rogue decks don't have Raiding Party. I'm a little sad about Preparation getting nerfed, but I knew it was coming at some point. Like, if they weren't going to Hall of Fame the card, they were going to change it to a 2-mana discount, because that keeps it in line with what they're doing with things like the Elemental card. For Mage, you know, Elemental Invocation. Yeah. It's in along the same kind of power level there. So
it's kind of like an old school Innervate, except just for spells, and you can't stack them. So, like,
yeah,
it's good. I think it's a good. I mean, it is true. I could kind of see where you're coming from, like disliking that one among all of these, just because prep did enable a bunch of memes throughout Hearthstone's history too. It is kind of a shot against like. More memey.
It kills rogue decks, kills some fun options. It kills some fun options. It delays some things by a turn. But ultimately, while I may be sad about that, I totally agree that something that they had to do, and one thing that's going to do for Rogue as a class is it's going to allow the design team a little more freedom in costing spells a bit more aggressively for Rogue. One of the problems for Rogue, because preparation existed, is you have a lot of spells that always felt like they were way too high costed for what they did. And preparation's a big reason for that. I mean, the one reason why, trying to think of a good example here, I think that if preparation didn't exist, I could see sprint costing 6 mana.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could see that. Hey, you wonder if they'll adjust. Nah, they probably won't adjust sprint. Who knows?
No, I don't think they'll ever tune it down. I think they'll keep it at 7.
Yeah, but you're on to something there.
Yeah, and raiding party changing from 3 mana to 4 mana. Again, I don't play the card in any rogue decks I run, but 4 mana to draw 3 cards, which is what you're usually getting when you're playing raiding party in a deck built to synergize with it. 3 cards for 4 mana is great. I wouldn't complain.
No, it's really great. And it's targeted draw, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of know what you're getting. And it pretty much synergizes with it, like itself. So, especially if you get the waggle pick and a couple, you know, pirates to go along with it. So, I mean, that was obviously the problem. And it was interesting to see, too, that they nerfed really that combo twice. I mean, you know, they raised raiding party and lowered the amount of, you know, reduction on preparation. So, I mean, that shows how exactly broken that combo was. That in order to fix it, they had to nerf both of the cards to prevent people from being able to do that. And if you hadn't seen that combo happen, you haven't been playing Hearthstone since Rise of Shadows.
Yeah. Like
that's how popular the deck had gotten.
The deck was super popular, and not just on the ladder. I mean, when I play casual, I run into that deck very frequently because it's... When you play casual mode, you're going to run into decks that people play on the ladder because they want to get quick wins to finish their quests and stuff like that. So I don't blame people for playing meta decks when they run casual. I mean, it is what it is. And Tempo Rogue was just a solid deck. It's received a couple hits now, and as a result of it, you're probably going to see a little more variety. You're going to probably see a little less Rogue. I think Tempo Rogue is still a solid deck to play. People are still bringing it to tournaments and competitive play, nowhere near as much as they were a couple days ago. But it's still going to be around. It's still going to be a contender. It's just not the dominating force that it was a week ago.
Yeah, they still can do stuff. And it's still one that, like, part of the reason why Rogue works so well with the new mode, of course, is that... Specialist mode is that it's also versatile. Like the different builds you can do with it. Also, you can do things like you're doing High Spare and Togwaggle stuff, and you're bouncing stuff back with, you know, Togwaggle scheme and all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, you know, it's still a flexible deck. It's just the power level's been brought down a bit to just make it in line with everything else. So it's good to see. I mean, I did like playing this deck. I had a weird thing where, like, no matter how high the win rate was on the Tempo Rogue before the nerf, I still just couldn't get a good win rate with it. Like, I'd get a couple good games in and be like, all right, cool. And then I'd just get smashed by something that I shouldn't have. So I don't know. I never quite got it. And I'm definitely not going to get it now. But but no, it's I agree with all these for sure. And Elysiana, just in particular... I have already shared my love-hate relationship with Miss Thist here, and I'm glad to see her costing more. I could have seen them going 10. I've kind of, like, my initial, like, gut reaction was that whole thing of, like, oh, but they could still coin out the Baleful Banker in the same turn. But I've been turned around on that a little bit. I listened to this week's Angry Chicken. And Dills kind of went on a soapbox about how, like, but would you really take the bounce effect stuff just to have a chance to be the 50-50, to have the coin in the first place, and then, like, hold the coin in your hand the entire time just to bounce one extra Elysiana back? I don't know. Hard to say, but probably not. So, but yeah, any hit to her is fine with me. I don't want to disenchant her for full value. But I kind of do. I don't know. I don't think it's smart to disenchant any of these, frankly, because they're all still pretty good.
No, I'm not disenchanting anything. Not even the Archivist, because Archivist to me is a card that can be a fun one of card in almost any deck you put in. It's one of those cards where it's like, it can just, in a deck that you think is going to go into fatigue, it creates some wacky zaniness at the end. If it weren't for Archivist, we wouldn't have had one of the best final games of a Hearthstone Very World true. Championship.
Yeah, I'll grant you that. I will definitely grant you that.
So I'm definitely keeping that. I would highly recommend that all of you, if you have an Archivist, also hold on to your Archivist. Unless you really have a hate-hate relationship with it, then dust away.
Mine's not a love-hate relationship, because I don't love her, but it's a tolerate-hate relationship. Does that make sense?
I get it.
Yeah, okay, good.
All right, well, Kevin, let's move on. We did mention there's something else besides nerfs going on. Tell me and the rest of us about card buffs.
Yeah, so this, again, is the craziest thing ever. And like, I don't even know where to begin. This is actually tied in with an event, we should say, yes, as well. And we can talk about Snip Snap in a second here. Yep. But yeah, it's going to be an event starting in June 3rd with an update there. The Rise of the Mech event where, what do you want to do? Snip Snap first or the buffs?
Oh, let's talk about Snip Snap. He led off the article. We might as well lead off with him here. So I'll mention him really quickly. Snip Snap, if you log in during this event, which is basically taking place during the entire month of June, starting June 3rd and the rest of June. As long as you log in, you'll get a golden copy of him. And he is a 3-mana, at least right now, subject to change, asterisk.
Right.
He's a 3-mana, 2/3 mech with Magnetic and Echo and Death Rattle, summon 2/1/1 microbots. So if you thought Harvest Golem was an okay card, Snip Snap destroys anything you thought about Harvest Golem. Snip Snap is Harvest Golem on crack that you can play 3 times in a single turn if you have 9 mana. You can magnetize to other mechs that you control. And if you haven't listened to any other Hearthstone podcasts, I guess we need to mention this combo because it's a wacky fun combo, Kevin.
It sure is. So it's the turn 5 priest OTK. And again, you've probably heard about this, but the general idea is as long as you can stick a mech on turn 4, which is pretty easy to do with a card called Coppertail Imposter. It's a Boomsday card. Battlecry, gain stealth until your next turn. It's just otherwise a 4-mana 4/4. But then you play our good old buddy Reckless Experimenter. Mm-hmm. You remember her from the good old early Mechathune Priest days?
I love me some Death Rattle Priest cards, Kevin.
Yeah, indeed. So she's, again, if you're not familiar with the 5-mana 4/6 Death Rattle minions play that you play cost 3 less, but then die at the end of the turn. But it doesn't matter, because Snip Snap is a 3-mana Death Rattle minion, and he can just, magnetize onto that Coppertail Imposter and then keep doing it forever, I guess, and just...
For science, when I heard about this combo, and I'm like... Surely Echo and Magnetic doesn't work like that. I thought, like, well, if you magnetize something that has Echo, it doesn't go back to your hand because you're not casting, you're magnetizing, right? It's different than casting, right? So for science, I built a Warlock deck with Glinda, which is the Warlock minion that gives all your minions have Echo. And yep. I put in the 1-mana cost Magnetic Skater Bot. And a whole bunch of other stuff. And I played against the computer AI to get to the point where I had Glinda down and the 1-mana mech. And just for the heck of it, magnetized the mech onto it. And the Echo, it came back. So Magnetic Echoes work like that. You can magnetize them over and over again as long as you have mana for it. And with Snip Snap costing 0, that's as many magnetizes as you can fit into 60 seconds.
Yep. Yes, it is. So it would become kind of like an APM thing.
Yeah.
Although it would be funny to have your opponent block that with just 1 taunt. But, I digress.
Sure.
I think this is problematic, though. And you kind of alluded to that saying that, it's maybe 3-mana to be determined. I kind of hope, though, that like if they do have to nerf this OTK, they nerf something else. I don't know.
The only there's two ways I feel that you can nerf the OTK for this card. Mm-hmm. One is change it to a 4-mana card and make it like 4-mana 2/4. Because that, oh, sure. I think, would mm-hmm. be about balanced. Then you could play it twice, and doing it twice and magnetizing a 2/4 twice to two things with 8 mana is still pretty solid to me. So that's one way you could do it at 4 mana. The other way would be, and I don't think they're going to do this because I think it'd take a lot of coding changes, but just change the way magnetic works. Like I said, to me, I feel like when you're magnetizing, you're not actually summoning.
Yeah, to me, you're just it's sticking like you're them just on.
Sticking mm-hmm. them on, attaching. So I feel like if you play a mech that has Echo and you're magnetizing, I don't feel like the Echo effect should go off. Like when I think about it in my head, it's just that's how my brain processes it. I wouldn't think that a magnetized effect would Echo.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. Like if you think of it from a fantasy standpoint, Echo was sold as like, you know, it was part of the Witchwood. It was the ghostly theme of like all of a sudden you're in the woods and you're just surrounded in all these like ghostly versions of what you first encountered. And so, yeah, I mean, to have that stack over and over on a mech, I could see that being the change maybe.
Yeah,
another one that would do it would be just take Reckless Experimenter and make it to where the Death Rattle minions cost 2 less.
I like the Experimenter where it is, though, because I like the wackiness that the Experimenter does in its traditional deck.
That's true.
I think Snip Snap's the thing that needs to be changed. I think Experimenter is fine where it is, but Snip Snap has to be adjusted so that it can't be abused with Experimenter.
Yeah.
It goes in as it is, have fun with that deck, and good luck not running into it. Because you will run into it.
You will. Well, you do have to draw those 3 things. There is that.
But and as I've heard on a couple other podcasts, that combo would work really well in like a Nomi Priest deck where you run the bulk of the Nomi Priest package. And basically the Snip Snap combo is if you get it, you get it. Great. And when the Nomi Priest deck, a Nomi Priest deck is designed in such a way where you're drawing through your deck fast anyway, right?
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I mean, it's a one turn kill. It doesn't matter if it's on turn 5.
Right.
Like that's the alarming thing is that you could do this on 5. But yeah, I mean, you could do this at any point.
Yep.
That's a good idea.
Yep. So Snip Snap is a thing. I think it's a fun card. I think it's a great card. There is that one combo, and I feel like this thing's going to be adjusted before we actually get it in June. But if we don't, it's going to be a strange new world.
Yeah, that combo feels like one Blizzard didn't test for.
Yeah.
Just flat out. Like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, they missed that one. I kind of hope that they fix it in a way that doesn't hinder Snip Snap himself. Because Snip Snap is just great on its own. I mean, you talked about it, but think of it this way. If all you did was, with 6 mana, put one down and then magnetize another copy onto it, you get a 6-mana 4/6 that blows out into 4 microbots, which is basically like the same stats as, in a way, I mean, it's a differently statted and different bodies as it dies, but it's a neutral high main for everybody in a way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just a good card. I don't know. You could magnetize more stuff on it after the fact. Ziliax or somebody. I mean,
oh, you know, I mean, Ziliax and this guy. I mean, if you think Ziliax is a mech that's going to be one of in every deck, that there is no reason not to play Snip Snap in a deck, in my opinion. If your deck even has a couple, even if your deck doesn't have mechs, honestly, this thing by itself at its worst is a really good harvest golem, and at its best with no other mechs is a 6/9 death rattle fill your board with with microbots.
Yeah, it's almost like the Violet Worm in a way. Just, I mean, different stats again, but I mean, yeah. And its synergy with Ziliax. Again, if those are your only two mechs and the whole rest is just some other package. Yeah,
you put them together and you have a 5/5 monstrosity of a mech.
Yeah. Yeah, I will see how it goes. The funny thing, though, is that so they're giving us the golden version, and then the blog did clarify that you could craft the regular. You know what that means, Brian. The regular is the status symbol.
Yeah.
That's where you say, I had the dust to make the non-golden version of this. And that if you want to be just a real jerk, there's your key right there.
If you craft the normal version of Snip Snap before you craft Frostlich Jaina, there will be hell to pay, Kevin.
I kind of want to now. Oh, good.
All right. So in addition to Snip Snap, of course, as we mentioned, a whole lot of cards are going to get buffed when this event goes out. Specifically, two Boomsday Project cards from each of the nine classes are receiving little tweaks and buffs. Kevin, what I would like to do for this, rather than go through all 18, because you guys can go to the Play Hearthstone article and check that out and check the link for all of the buffs, but how about you pick two that really stand out for you, and then I'll pick two that stand out for me.
Yeah, sure. The ones that stand out to me, I think, are the ones that really experienced a major drop in mana cost, mm-hmm. or some other significant change there. It's probably not going to be the best in the world still, but Luna's Pocket Galaxy, man,
because
it was 7 mana down to 5. And I'm not even saying that necessarily Luna's Pocket Galaxy is one that you would just raw put in a deck. Although, I mean, it's significantly buffed. It's definitely a better candidate for decks. But, you get it from so many things that you're discovering. You know, you got that, I'm blanking on the name, but the 2-mana 2/2, as long as you have a dragon, you discover a mage spell. And, I mean, there's always going to be a mass market for discovering mage spells as other sets come out and everything.
Minion mage decks are kind of the craze lately.
They're a thing. That's right. And I have played those types of decks and discovered the 7-mana Luna's Pocket Galaxy, played it, and come back with like crazy wins with these cheap, cheap, cheap dragons. So, I mean, it is cool. It's still one of my favorite cards just because, like, I don't know, there's something about having to almost take a turn off because you just did nothing other than set yourself up, but then come back with just crazy, cheap, powerful stuff. There's something fun about that for me. So, so that's one I'm definitely excited about. Past that, let me see here. The crazy thing is they said that they would never buff any cards. And now there's so many cards that they buffed. We can't even really sit down and like talk about all of them. You know, that's the crazy. I mean, we could, but it'd be a long show. The other one that I'm kind of looking at here, and I don't know about it because I can't think through exactly how this would work in Mech Hunter or any of these others right now. But the Necro mechanic.
It's so good, Kevin.
It's probably going to be so good. So if you weren't familiar with what it was in the first place, because you didn't play it, because no one played it, except maybe you, Brian. I don't know.
Oh, I was playing it.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Well, now you're really going to be playing it because it was a 5-mana 3/6, your death rattles trigger twice, but now it's a 4-mana 3/6, your death rattles triggers twice. And this is one where the mana cost only dropped by one, but you always have to, you know, when you're evaluating any Hearthstone card, really, like during reveal season or when things are being nerfed or buffed or changed around, you just got to think about, like, is the body good anyway for the mana? And I don't think it was at 5, but it is at 4.
Do you play Water Elemental?
Yeah.
If you play Water Elemental, and you play this as a hunter.
Yeah, that's right. So there's something there. Yeah. I don't know what exactly, but definitely something.
Necro mechanic, I definitely agree with you. That was actually going to be one of the two that I was going to pick, but I'm glad that you're excited about it. So I'm going to think of another one really quickly. I think for me, one of the ones that I'm really excited about would have to be probably Pogo Hopper going down from 2-mana to 1-mana.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that becomes really interesting and possibly viable now. I mean, a 1-mana 1/1 is fine, and then it has a really sick, stupid battle cry effect where you gain, you know, +2/+2 for each other Pogo Hopper you played this game. I think it makes that Pogo Hopper deck a lot more viable. I don't think it's going to be the best deck in the world, but it makes it a lot more interesting to play.
It's going to feel more like old school Jade Druid, I think, in that, you know, you're using the Jade Idol for one mana over and over again to get more. And yeah, if you get the right Tidewaggle scheme or some way to bounce a bunch of these guys back, you could be in business.
Yep. And then the other one that I have to talk about, and it feels like, and I've listened to a lot of Hearthstone podcasts over the past few days, just in the wake of these buff announcements, and I really have to agree with it. Almost everyone else that's been talking about this, Crystallogy is a, right now, it's a 2-mana spell, draw 2/1 attack minions from your deck for Paladin, which had already been seeing some use in certain Paladin decks. It's getting its cost reduced to 1. Paladin doesn't have Divine Favor anymore, but it's going to have a 1-mana draw 2-card spell. That is in-freaking-sane.
Yeah. It doesn't even matter what it draws. It's just thinning your deck out.
It's thinning out the deck is wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. I thought Crystallogy by itself at 2 was at least a card that, I mean, I wouldn't put it in a ton of decks, but it's not bad by itself. But yeah, no, this is something. And again, it's one of those where, like, yes, it's only gone down 1 mana, but that, I mean, it went down, it was cut in half, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it went from 2 to 1, so that
it's
is
a 50%
giant buff.
50% off. I don't think any card, I mean, Luna got taken down by 2 mana, and that's like, you know, roughly, you know, a 25, like a 30-ish percent off thing. This, it relatively had the most severe discount on mana cost, and I think part of that is just because we're not seeing a whole lot of Paladin lately, and of course, there are some people trying Heal Paladin, and there are some people trying Dragon Paladin, but they just really haven't gotten off the ground. So maybe a swarmish Zooey type Paladin with Crystallogy might be the gas that it needs to be viable. Who knows?
If you're going to do that, maybe you actually run Glowstone Technician as well.
Maybe, which is instead of 6 mana, giving all minions in your hand +2/+2, it's going to give them, it's going to be reduced to 5 mana. So, you know, you draw them early and then you buff them a little bit later on. I could see, speaking wild, I could see Crystallogy being great in a Hobgoblin deck.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. And, of course, so there's a number of mechs in Paladin that have 1 attack already. So Mech Paladin, I think, is definitely going to run 2 of these all the time.
I don't know if it would need it in wild because they've got, you know.
Oh, no, not in wild. But I mean, in standard, a standard Mech Paladin deck is going to run 2 Crystallogy easily.
Oh, no, that's cool. No, I was setting up a point of that technically you could use Crystallogy in wild odd Paladin.
Mm.
I don't know if you would because you've got Divine Favor, but I mean, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you don't have enough gas, then sure, why not?
It's, I mean, it's already the best deck in the game, so whatever.
So, yeah. Card buffs, Kevin. What a world we live in. I never thought I would see the day. Again, like you said, they had previously said that they weren't going to buff cards. And now that they have, it basically means the sky's the limit.
I agree.
Who knows what's going to happen in Hearthstone now?
No, I joked at the top of the show about that with throwing out the TM words.
Yeah,
let's call them. But no, seriously, like I see something like this where they've gone time and time again saying that no, I mean it just doesn't make sense for our game. We would never do something like that, and then just going all out in this way. I think this is a herald of seeing stuff like this where, you know how we talked a while ago about, and it even came up in an AMA, like mid to late term goals that people can work toward in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they've said similar things about how like, oh yeah, no, we would never do rewards that only 10% of the population would ever be able to get, or we would never do things that you have to grind forever for. Maybe they're going to do it. Maybe we're going to see like a whole huge overhaul with like platinum heroes and all kinds of other just crazy zany stuff that's been batted around for years. And now comes to fruition. I mean, I'm with you. I think this opens the door for all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, just this event in general is really interesting. I mean, a couple of our podcasts has mentioned this would be kind of the time of year that we'd see the Midsummer Festival, I think, be approaching and have the whole Ragnaros thing going on. We may still get that in July for all we know.
That would be cool, yeah.
And that'd also be cool if, you know, Rise of the Mech is then followed by the Fire Festival in July, and then August we have the second expansion of the set pretty much launching. So they're doing a really good job at pacing not just content, because the Dalaran Heist plays into this too, but it definitely feels like there is always something new or different happening with Hearthstone. Pretty much every couple of weeks, you know, this new thing's going to happen or that new thing's going to happen. And the fact that they are, even if the changes aren't necessarily the biggest changes in the world, it reminds me, and I hate to bring this up to a degree because I don't want you to feel bad about this, but honestly, I have to compare it to it. This kind of reminds me of Heroes of the Storm in its heyday, where there was like balance changes every week and a new hero pretty freaking frequently. Hearthstone as a game has not seen this much fluidity and change in activity in years.
No, absolutely. And no, the comparison to Heroes in its heyday is perfect, actually. And I was going to say, too, that like it's kind of crazy to me. Some people actually complained, though, about the fact that the nerfs are going live a couple weeks before these buffs, mm-hmm. in that we have a 2-week kind of meta happening. But
I'm fine with
it. I'm great with it, actually. I wouldn't mind them doing this kind of stuff more often. Now, I mean, also, we're not pro players trying to like prep lists for the tournaments.
But speaking from competitive play, I think that an environment that's changing, you know, roughly every 3 to 4 weeks is also going to make what esports we have that's watchable interesting. I think it's going to make that Grandmaster stuff even more entertaining.
Well, and it lets innovation be a key component to the competition, like it was in the World Championships this year for sure, with like the new rotation and Rise of Shadows cards coming out. So, yeah, for sure.
So last thing to mention about the Rise of the Mech event is that this is also going to herald the next arena rotation. And as you know, starting with this year in the Year of the Dragon, twice during an expansion, arena is going to feature a different group of sets for the card pool. And for the Rise of the Mech, very appropriately, arena is going to have a card pool that features Goblins versus Gnomes, the Boomsday Project. I'm scrolling down to find everything else. The Grand Tournament, mm-hmm. Basic, Classic, and Karazhan. So I thought about that combination, and I'm like, that is a lot of mechs. So I decided to do some research for science.
Yes.
Kevin, how many mechs are there in all of Hearthstone right now?
Well, I only know this because you put it in the notes. Shall I read it?
Sure.
Okay. 104.
Okay. Now, this I didn't put in the notes, but I know the answer to it. Of those 104, how many of those mechs are in the next arena rotation?
Who do you think I am? Odwukta and Merps? I can't analyze the arena like this. They probably have the answer immediately. It's got to be high. So let's go 95.
You are actually absolutely right.
What?
95.
We didn't plan this ahead of time, folks. 95. Oh, that's great.
There are
okay.
I mean, there's a few mechs in Witchwood, a stray mech or two, and of expansions that aren't in this mix. But yeah, 95 of the 104 mechs in Hearthstone will be part of Arena. This arena is going to be very mech-centric. I really like how, here's the thing. Yeah, almost all the mechs are going to be in the card pool. That doesn't necessarily mean that every deck is going to be nothing but mechs, because you got to remember there are other cards in those sets too. But you'll definitely have to think about mechs, and this is actually going to be a card pool where if you get EMP operative, which is, I think, either destroy or silence a mech.
It's destroy.
Mm-hmm. EMP operative is going to be just great.
Yeah, I would think so, because people are going to be playing with magnetizing onto old mechs in really interesting ways. So
yeah,
no, that's something. I can't believe I got that right, though.
I can't believe it either. Good job.
Take that, Adwicta and Merps. Who needs the Lightforged tier list?
I'm really excited about that arena rotation. I don't know how, you know, the boys at Lightforge feel about it, but I'm going to have a lot of fun with that. It's the kind of arena card pool that I was really hoping for out of a rotations thing like this. And they're definitely riding that thing, you know, with the rise of the mech event. This whole event thing has me super excited for multiple reasons. I'm super hyped about it.
No, yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be a good summer in general for like any kind of Blizzard stuff. We got Classic coming out at the end. Anyway, I digress.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to wrap things up with talking about the Dalaran heist. It's funny that we're wrapping things up with it when we originally thought this is what we'd talk about most of the show. Yeah, but
really buried the lead there, eh? That's
No kidding, right? But the Dalaran heist is something that is ongoing. I mean, as you're listening to this right now, up to chapter 3 is unlockable. 5 of the classes, if you have all 3 chapters unlocked, you can play 5 of the 9 classes. And so far, I'm having a heck of a lot of fun with the Dalaran heist. Before I get into just some of my highlights and experiences, I know you've tried to play the heist as much as you can, given how busy you've been. But just how much have you enjoyed the heist, Kevin? And is there anything that kind of jumps out to you as far as like favorite moments and such go?
So I've definitely enjoyed it for sure. I'm at a point where like I still feel like I've only really scratched the surface of the mm-hmm. whole thing. And I'd be interested to hear if you feel the same, even though you've gotten to dive a little bit deeper. I mean, it has been a pretty busy week at work and such. So I've gotten definitely in there. I've cleared all 3 normal wings. Actually, first try on each of those. I'm pretty happy with that. Nice. So yeah, that went well. And then, you know, I've dipped into heroic, but haven't had it clear there yet. And I've messed around a little bit with anomaly mode. And I've started going back in normal too, because obviously, you know, once you've cleared it with one class in any of these given wings, you can work on the other classes, continue to unlock decks, unlock hero powers, and then just get that nice little crown over every single one.
Oh, isn't that crown thing just great? It's like it just tempting. It's like, well, you've got the crown on one of your classes for this chapter. Why not complete it on the others?
Yep. Totally on board with that. So
I'm really wondering if there's some Easter egg thing for clearing every chapter with every character.
You know what the bomb Easter egg would be for that?
Mm.
They release all of those heroes as playable in like
if they may. Oh, okay, I will tell you right now. And I mean, there's
people go
there's
nuts.
Some of those there's some of those heroes that I would consider buying, and maybe I shouldn't say that because then they're going to make them purchasable. But man, if that was the Easter egg, if you beat every chapter with every class,
normal and heroic.
Normal and heroic, and that unlocks all those heroes to use as alternate heroes. Sign me up.
Or even they could do it on a class by class basis. You could be like, sure, if you clear everything on mage, you get
awesome,
because they're fully fleshed out, dude. All of their animations, I mean, they don't have specialized hero powers, I guess, which whatever. The voice lines are all good, and they've got like their attack voice lines and everything that you could think of. So I frankly don't even know why they aren't characters, because if you haven't seen all of them, like especially if you haven't played this week yet, because I mean, it just came out today. Mm-hmm. The races that they're pulling from here are incredible. I mean, we've already got a Volpira.
Yeah. We got a Sethrak, we got a Volpera, there's going to be there's an Arakoa in there, a Pandaren's going to be in the mix. It's a pretty nice variety.
It absolutely is. And I mean, that to me, like, at just the surface level is what this is all about. There's a ton of variety, a ton of flavor and heart put into this, and the things that you can do now, because, again, I mean, a lot of this has been building off of, you know, things that they've learned from, obviously, the dungeon run, Monster Hunt in particular, a little bit of a flavor from the Rumble Run as well. But you know, a lot of these passives that we've had or treasures that we've been able to unlock previously are back.
Yeah.
But then there's also incredible new ones, some that are just ridiculous, flat out. And the way that they synergize with each other can also be just ridiculous. That plus, like, going into the tavern is one of the most fun things ever.
The tavern's great because, I mean, along with all these awesome treasures, sometimes the tavern doesn't do a whole lot for your deck, and other times it creates some stupid broken moments. Example, I was playing a hunter deck with Robes of Gaudiness, which reduce the cost of all your stuff by half, but you can only play two things a turn.
Right.
And I got to, I had Katrina Whisperwind, the legendary that has Battlecry and Death Rattle Recruit a Beast.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got her in the tavern, and I got to have her cost reduced to zero in the first tavern. And then in the second tavern later in the run, I got to have three copies of her. And on top of that, have her start in my opening hand.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. And that, I like, if I have a tip for you guys at all, and I don't want to dive too deep into, like, strats and all that, because sure. I want people to just experiment.
The discovery is part of the things. Fun.
Yeah, and arguably even more so now, because you know, like, even if you lose, you're still working towards something. You're still pushing toward the next pack, or not pack, but, you know, deck that you can use, or hero power. So, anyway. I digress, though. Yeah, it's that you should find a way to cheat out something either through the tavern or some other method, honestly, early, because my example is kind of similar to yours in that I really super buffed an early game minion and guaranteed that it was in my hand. And it was the, why do I always blank on the name? Northshire Cleric.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
This was today. I was playing the priest run. And I was going through wing three. And so I had it set up where in one of the taverns, the first one that I ran into, there is a weird set of stuff. Like, nothing was really that great. I think I discovered a legendary and added it to my group, which was fine. Mm-hmm. Nothing too crazy. But one of them was, you know, guarantee that something's in your hand. And so I did that with Northshire Cleric because I was like, you know, I mean, hey, sounds good.
It's a great one drop.
It's a one drop. That always will get you something. And so then I ended up also with the, I think it's called First Aid. It's the one where everything on your board heals for two at the end of every turn.
Oh my gosh.
So I had that. So, I mean, I was doing some cool stuff. And then I went back to the tavern and I buffed the Northshire Cleric to a 3/5.
I didn't even think about First Aid with Northshire Cleric. You see, that's one of the great things about the Dalaran heist.
Right.
Is because there's so many freaking combos. There's so many treasures out there, so many different hero powers and passive changes to your hero power and stuff like that, that there's a lot of possibilities. It's like they've taken Dungeon Run, smashed Tavern Brawl into it, threw in a whole bunch of extra new stuff, and honestly, it's the best thing ever. And I'm going, you know, I'm not going to, like you, I'm not going to dig too deep myself. I'm just going to say one thing for now. I have some tips for heroics, and I think I'm going to hold those for next episode. But I'm going to give you one tip. Beyond everything else, Kevin, if you see Wondrous Wisdom Ball as a treasure, you click that card so hard you might break your mouse.
Or your screen.
Or your screen.
You know, I didn't know what it was about until today, actually. I've deliberately not been following a lot of content on it.
Sure.
And, you know, watching streams or anything, because, again, I want to get in there and experience it myself.
I bet you saw the Crypt video, did you?
Well, I did later. So I had, again, my work buddy of mine was like, oh, the Wisdom Ball is the best thing ever. And I'm like, okay. And I thought it was a joke because I know that, you know, Khadgar can come up and, like, goad you and say all kinds of goofy stuff. But yeah. But no, it's more than a joke. And the Crypt video, if you guys haven't seen it, I won't spoil it, but it proves that. It proves that really nicely.
It basically, I'm not going to spoil what it does exactly, But to explain why you should take it, the best way I can tell you why without spoiling it is it does RNG stuff during the course of your game. You don't know when it's going to happen, but it tends to be very significant stuff, and it could just turn the tide of a game in your favor when you least expect it. On two occasions, and if you follow my Twitter feed, then you've seen me tweet about one of them, but on two occasions, Wondrous Wisdom Ball has saved me from certain defeat and turned my game into a win on that run.
Yeah, that's, and it's just super flavorful and fun too.
Oh yeah.
So if it was just voice lines, I would still almost take it.
Yeah.
But the fact that it actually does some of this other stuff. Yeah. It's very cool.
Yeah. And I don't think I'm going to say all the stuff that it does because when I had my first experience playing Wisdom Ball and all these things were happening, I was laughing hysterically because I'm like, that's insane. There's no way they would do that. And then, and then when I think my game's going to be a loss and then this happens, I'm like, I couldn't stop laughing for like half a minute because I couldn't believe what just happened. So,
and see, I actually don't know all the stuff it does yet, really.
Oh, so, like, I know a lot of the things it does, and I'm sure there's things that it does that I haven't even seen yet.
Yeah, for sure. Or maybe no one's seen yet.
Who knows?
I don't know about that.
Do take Wondrous Wisdom Ball. If it pops up as a treasure, take it. I really feel you won't be disappointed. Even if you don't win that run, you're going to have some really great stories to tell.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good call.
All right. Well, so much for a Dalaran heist episode that wasn't too much about the Dalaran heist.
Well, you know, honestly, I mean, that is kind of where I'm at. As I mentioned before,
We're exploring it.
We're scratching the surface. It's a mode that is fleshed out enough that I'm going to keep going back to it until I feel like I've really cleared up to my fill, honestly. It's one that you can, again, it's a single player mode that you don't have the turn timer and stuff. So it's great to just weave in with like the laundry and stuff. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
no, it's really good.
And one of the best things I like about just the recent update, and this applies to the Dalaran heist for me on my iPhone, is I can be playing it and I can put my iPhone in sleep mode. And previously, that would mean I'd lose the game. Now, if I put my phone in sleep mode and then load up Hearthstone again on my phone, it resumes my game where I left off.
Oh, really?
That's just crazy good. I think it applies to Androids as well. It's not just an iPhone.
Maybe I've not experimented with it enough, but I need to now. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a lot of good things happening in Hearthstone now. There's a lot of great things coming up. Of course, the next time that we talk to you, the Rise of the Mech will be going on. We'll have snip snaps. We'll be able to talk about how broken or unbroken it actually is, whether or not they make adjustments to it. We're going to have, I don't know what we're talking about next episode, Kevin, but we're going to have a lot to talk about, I think.
Tournament mode, probably.
I mean, oh, man. Don't start.
Hey, I had to do a full circle ending here. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, until then, Kevin, how can people get connected with you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter for sure, at Multizord. I also creep around a lot of Discords. So there you go.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at Rowow. That's R-H-O-W-O-W. I also do a few other podcasts out there. Realm Maintenance, if you love all things Blizzard and podcasts about Blizzard games. Rolling Restart, if you like World of Warcraft. And if you're into Dungeons & Dragons, I'm also part of a D&D podcast called Plus 5 to Hit. Check that out if you're looking for something different. I play a female halfling cleric named Faye Wavecrest, and I have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, you're doing it right. Absolutely. That, again, is a solid group on that show.
Oh yeah, it's TBK, man.
Yeah,
TBK is one heck of a everyone is great on that show, but TBK, he just got done being a guest dungeon master for a two-shot for us, and I can't say enough, the guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The guy does a great job.
He did just 3D print Lil Ragnaros. I don't know if you saw that.
I did. It's great.
Really cool stuff, yeah. I got to ask you a WoW question, though, Ro. Sure. So fairly soon here, some throughout the summer, I guess it is. Classic, obviously, is going to be launching. But before that, there's a chance to lock in your name. Are you going to try for the three-letter row?
I've got it locked in on the PTR. I will try to get it locked in for the main thing.
Does the PTR count, though?
I don't think so.
Or the beta? No, yeah. So, but we'll do see.
I'm going to try.
You should. I'm thinking about trying for Kev. Because three-letter names are just so cool. Like, you kind of prove that you did it that first day, right?
Yeah, I can't wait to see Joe and Tim and Bob.
All those, yes, yes.
If they even allow those, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
But as far as contacting us on the show, you can find the show on Twitter at HearthCasual. You can email the show at hearthcasual@gmail.com. And reviews on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, whatever you want to call it. 5-star reviews, 4-star reviews, whatever reviews you want to give there are greatly appreciated. Let your friends know about this show. You know, it's I not too long ago took a look back at just kind of the history of the show and how many people are downloading it, listening to it, checking it out. I don't do that too often, but I know that we definitely have a very significant core group of you guys listening to the show. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, there's folks I think that have been sticking with us the whole time. We appreciate it.
Well, until next time, Kevin, have fun in the remaining chapters of Dalaran Heist. I have 2 heroic chapters done. You have some catching up to do.
I know, yeah. I've been slacking. I don't know what to tell you.
All right. Well, folks, until next time, for Kevin Ellis, this is Brian Black, reminding you, always, always, Wondrous Wisdom Ball. And if you think Wondrous Wisdom Ball is not the right choice, you're wrong. Goodbye, everybody.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter at Frozen Fox Media. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.